Well, so indeed, church, happy birthday. Happy birthday. For today is Pentecost, the day in which the church remembers that the Holy Spirit did come down like the rush of a violent wind and filled the house where many people were sitting, and tongues as if a fire rested on their heads, and all of a sudden the walls blew out and the apostles were on the street preaching in other languages. But there was an aspect of the story that I had never seen before that caught me this week. And that aspect was this. While it is the case that the Holy Spirit can do whatever the Holy Spirit wants, that's part of the story, right? The Holy Spirit is completely outside of our control. It blows where it wants to. It gives gifts that we can't even imagine. While the Holy Spirit can do whatever the Holy Spirit wants, on that first Pentecost, it chose to act through a group of disciples who were gathered together in one place. And as the text continues to tell us, they were sitting in one house. On that first Pentecost, the miracle that birthed the church, the people of God, as the church, were not gathered from their homes or from stores or from golf courses. There were no pillow Presbyterians sleeping in, I heard a preacher once say, or renegade Roman Catholics eating donuts at Dunkin' Donut, or lollygagging Lutherans who felt a little tired because they'd gotten up early the morning before to watch a royal wedding. The Holy Spirit worked and acted through the people who were gathered together in one place. And so before those people were prophets in the streets, they were men and women and children, slave and free, sitting in their seats. And so you might say, well, that's good news, Pastor, because as you notice, we're here today, sitting down. But I think there's something in this for us to pay attention to with all of that. And here's the thing. If you pay attention to what Peter says in the very end of the Acts lesson, what he draws out for the people who come to listen is that that group of folks who were gathered together in one place were an awfully diverse group. Even before the Holy Spirit descended and gave them the ability to communicate with people from all over the known world at that time in every language that could be imagined. Even before that gift of diversity, there was diversity in that house. This is what was declared through the prophet Joel, Peter preaches. Old men dreaming dreams and young men seeing visions, men and women, slaves and free, all together before they were out on the street, sitting together in the house. And see, here's the thing about sitting. It's not the posture of just sort of stopping by when you've got somewhere else you'd rather be. Sitting's a commitment. When you sit down, you're going to stay a while. And so I imagine before the Holy Spirit filled that house, there were old men and young men and old women and young women, and there were slaves and there were free people sitting together doing what? Playing cards, maybe. Maybe talking and listening. So the old were able to tell the young about what had happened in their lives, the wisdom they'd gained over their decades. And the young were able to speak of the realities of their life to the old, not as it's often imagined, not as the young lives as they're often imagined by the old, but as they really live and exist. And the slaves were able to talk with the free about what it means to be human property. And the free were open to listen, sitting, not moving, hearts open, ears attentive. This is what the Holy Spirit chooses to use. This is how the Holy Spirit gives birth to a church. Through a people who are willing to gather and sit. For indeed, although the Holy Spirit sent the people out on that day into the street, it's been the Holy Spirit's work over the centuries since to continue to gather people together in one place, in all their diversity. And I wonder what it might be. We paid attention to that thing that the Holy Spirit used that day. For surely, if the Holy Spirit used it once, the Holy Spirit might do something new like that again. And what might happen to us when we sit and listen? When we gather as one in this congregation and with other Christians throughout the world? I don't know if anyone did, in fact, get a chance to watch the royal wedding yesterday. Anybody? Few folks? Anybody see Bishop Michael Curry's sermon? It was quite extraordinary. I got to catch up with it afterwards. I was out on retreat with a few of our folks. I had to imagine, now, it is the case that the church that was gathered for that service was not gathered in one place. It was, you know, there was the church gathered at Windsor Castle, and there was the church that was tuning in via the interwebs, which is the great work of fire. Bishop Curry said in at the conclusion of his sermon that, you know, fire was the beginning of technology, and technology has made all kinds of other things possible. But there was a church gathered, you might say, all together of a certain sort. And I just had to imagine, because the theme of that sermon was about love. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, it is worth watching. And if you don't have access to the interwebs, you can come and talk to me, and I'll let you watch it on my computer. Bishop Curry preached about love and the transforming power of love that has been poured onto us, poured out to us through Jesus Christ. And I just had to imagine as I was listening to it, I was thinking about this. You know, what could happen? What could the Holy Spirit do when a whole group of people, counting millions and millions and millions, are gathered around this one word of Jesus Christ? In sacrificial love, what difference could that make? If millions and millions of people were grabbed by that message, what could the Holy Spirit do with that? In a world in which far too often our young men, the only vision that some of our young men have for their lives is to tell their stories by pulling the trigger of a gun. What could the Holy Spirit do in a world that caught the vision of love, when the Holy Land where the Holy Spirit was first poured out on that Pentecost is now torn up by violence yet again? What could the Holy Spirit do with people gathered in one place to hear the one word of love, or rather, you know, at least together through the technology, the fire of the interweb? Holy Spirit moved a group of people gathered together outside the walls of the house in a miracle that we are still talking about and celebrate as our birthday. What could the Holy Spirit do with us gathered here? Could it start by speaking and listening? Could it start by sitting together? Could it start with old men speaking of their lives experience, what God has done for them, and for young men dreaming their dreams? Or maybe it's the other way around. Could it start with hearing the words of women testify, for surely God was at work before that first Pentecost in the lives of these people, drawing them together? In this congregation, we are preparing in a couple of weeks to be a congregation gathered as one in one place, no longer two services, but one. As part of that process, I discovered time just spent sitting down and talking with some of our Sunday school parents about how they experienced their lives of faith, and I was transformed in that process. Hearing about their deep desires to teach their children about the life of faith. Hearing their deep desires, how do I bear witness to Christ in a world in which death is a reality. For 4 weeks in April, we spent time actually talking about that face to face. How do I teach my children to worship? How do we gather in community? It meant so much to me. I thought, this is transforming, because the stories that we often tell ourselves is that our young don't care anymore. Oh, they do. What could the Holy Spirit do among us when we're gathered together in one place? So, church, happy birthday. I hope that we enjoy together this year that is to come. I hope we look for places to sit and talk and listen with each other and with Christians and so many other places in this town and across the country. I hope it is a blessed year for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.